On this episode of Not the Model Minority, I talked to Jenny Liu, a Miss/Disinformation Policy Manager at Asian Americans Advancing Justice, who graduated from Georgetown University. Hi everyone, this is Brian Yang, your host of the Not the Model Minority podcast. Today, I'll be talking to Jenny Liu, a Miss/Disinformation Policy Manager at the Asian Americans Advancing Justice. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So first off, what is your educational background?
Sure, yeah. So I am based out of Washington, D.C., and I actually went to school here in D.C. At Georgetown University. It's a Jesuit university that's not actually super far from where I live now. At school, I studied international business and marketing. As an undergrad, I was in the business school actually. So I had an interesting initial career trajectory to get to where I am now, working in the policy advocacy space and specifically the Asian American advocacy space. But yeah, I love Georgetown. A lot of my best friends from school I'm still friends with today. There was a lot of opportunities, and I think it was also especially really a great experience to go to school in a city, and especially a city as vibrant and global as Washington, D.C. Just a little bit more of my personal background, I grew up in Michigan in a small suburb, so there was just a lot more diversity and kind of just the experience of getting outside of where I'd lived for my entire life up until then. It was really cool and just, yeah, had a really great experience there and made a lot of good memories, made a lot of good relationships and beyond just, of course, my schoolwork. So yeah, really love my experience at Georgetown.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So I guess the segue is what led you from Georgetown? What sparked you to work for AAJC?
Yeah. So I kind of alluded to this already. So after graduation, a lot of, I think, people who go to private schools like Georgetown end up going into the finance consulting space. And this particularly because I was in the business school, that kind of just was the path of least resistance. I had done an internship the summer of my junior year at a Big Four accounting firm. And so I went back there. This was in 2019. So I worked there for 2 years, but thinking about that time period, right, that was right before the pandemic hit. So in the summer of 2020, I actually moved home and spent a lot of that time back home in Michigan. And so at that point, I'd been working at the organization for a year and a half. And I was getting just a little bit, I think, frustrated and a little bit just disheartened. And of course, at that point, it was a really hard time to be an Asian American, and particularly a Chinese American, right, in this country. There's a lot of really awful things happening with regards to anti-Asian hate. That was right around when the Atlanta spa shootings happened. So I think I just came to a moment where I was kind of questioning what I was doing, working at this huge accounting firm. And also, for background, I wasn't necessarily super involved in the Asian American advocacy space when I was in college, or I wasn't involved in some Asian American organizations and things of that nature while I was on campus, but not really. It wasn't my core extracurricular activity while I was there. So I, at that point, was starting to think about what I wanted to do next. And I knew I wanted to do something that involved language ability. So I speak Chinese at home, and I thought that was something that I wanted to use. And so I was kind of just browsing around, and I kind of stumbled across this position at Advancing Justice AAJC. I had actually never heard of the organization before, I really didn't know that much about it, just because, once again, I wasn't super involved in the Asian American advocacy space. But I was interested, and specifically this role around misinformation was something that I personally found very relevant, timely, and also just interesting broadly. And I think also on a more personal level, right, once again, talking about the pandemic and a lot of the just like on frankly like hate and misinformation that was directed towards like the Asian American community, particularly Chinese Americans, like at the start of the pandemic, thinking about phrases like China virus and Chinese virus and all of the conspiracy theories around the lab leak and this idea that it was purposely created by the Chinese government, like all of these really ludicrous allegations that are put out there, that of course then negatively impacted Asian Americans. And I think for me it was also especially personal because my family in China is originally from Wuhan, so it was just really, I think, terrible to hear this place that I loved so much and had been to and visited as a kid be reduced to just being associated with this virus, right? I think even now, like most Americans or people outside of China, when they think of Wuhan, they immediately think of COVID, right? And it's like most people probably didn't know where it was or had ever heard of it prior to 2020. So I think that was a primary motivating factor for me of like wanting to get involved in this space, and particularly like obviously the work that I do on in misinformation is multifaceted. So part of it is like misinformation that spreads within the community, but also it's misinformation that's directed at us or like at the expense of our community, if you will. So thinking about like correcting these like kind of age-old assumptions of like Asian Americans as dirty or spreading disease that go way beyond or that precede the 2020 pandemic, right? And have kind of implications for a lot of the history of this country and like the 20th century and the 19th century, things like the Chinese Exclusion Act, the Page Act. So yeah, just that was a very long-winded way of saying that it was personal, and I think it was quite a shift for me, I think, going from my first job out of college to this, but it in a lot of ways I think was what I needed, I think, in that moment, especially thinking of the time that we were living in, of like 2020, 2021. And yeah, that's sort of my kind of story of how I ended up here. And I think as you'll talk to people, I think a lot of really folks who come to this space have really, really interesting stories. And I think you often hear that when it comes to people's career trajectories, it's not like a straight line, right? You kind of move around and depending on what your interests are and how things develop. So I think at least for me, it wasn't, if you'd asked me like when I graduated from college, if I'd end up working at like a at a nonprofit at in this like space, I probably would have been a little bit surprised, but yeah, here I am.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And also, like, it's so interesting how you say, like, COVID really was that, like, pivotal, like, moment where it made you, like, really consider, like, how, like, Asian Americans, like, were being, like, portrayed by the media and, like, how that made you want to do something about it. So, like, what it, so I guess you mentioned this already, but, like, what are the, like, some of the most interesting moments of your work as a disinformation policy manager?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of both something that is good about my job, but also something that is it's so it, and because of the nature of disinformation and misinformation research, there's a lot of, I guess, interesting quote unquote information that's out there, right? We in our work at AAJC, we track a lot of different sorts of narratives, and particularly misinformation narratives, of course, that are targeting the Asian American community. So different conspiracy theories or misleading narratives and stories that circulate. And just thinking about the context of this moment that we're living through, right? There's of course no shortage of news stories and different global events that contribute to and provide fodder for misinformation. So I think in terms of like interesting, it definitely is interesting, but it's also a little bit scary, and oftentimes it can be disheartening, right? Because while there's never kind of a dull moment, right, in kind of this work that we do, and there's no shortage of the kind of information that we track, the flip side of that is, right, it can be very overwhelming, kind of step back and think about all of these falsehoods and different stories that we're being constantly inundated with in this moment where like where people are always online, social media is this omnipresent just thing that exists for us. So I guess my answer is that it's interesting, but sometimes it can be a lot. That's where I find it's really important to kind of take a step back and ground ground myself and think about like the bigger picture of like why we work on this work, how it impacts members of our community, and to not get too caught up in the grandeur of it. Like I think oftentimes we say when it comes to doing like misinformation research, it sort of feels like you're boiling the ocean, right? Or like you only see, or like the tip of the iceberg analogy of like we're seeing this very small part of this much, much larger phenomenon. So I think it's sometimes overwhelming to think about that too much, and it's easy to get caught up in this like feeling of, I don't want to say hopelessness, but just this feeling of like there's so much additional work that needs to be done almost.
Definitely. And I think, yeah, I think you're right about that, honestly. Like, it's really interesting, but also disturbing at the same time, like paradoxically, like in that way. So I guess, yeah, you did talk about the challenges. So I guess, like, did you ever feel like, as an Asian American, I think you already mentioned this, like how COVID sparked your interest, but did your parents, like growing up, like cultural pressures also influence like what you felt like, what careers you wanted to do?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Both of my parents like work in tech or engineers, and there's always this. Not that they ever like really pressured me to like become a doctor or become an engineer themselves myself, but there's right, like you can be, and it's like your choices. You can become a doctor, you can become an engineer, you can become a lawyer. And I think we haven't really carved out other metrics of success, right? And at least in like a lot of these traditional immigrant households of like working in advocacy or working in politics or working in these social impact spaces, I think a lot of times, like my parents are very confused about what my job is or what it entails, and I think they are proud of me, but it's hard, I think, when we grow up and are sort of taught that like to be successful is to go to law school or to go to medical school and do X, Y, and Z. I think that's something that I think will take time, like from like a almost like narrative change perspective, if you will, of like showing that to be successful as like an Asian American or just right as a person, it doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't need to neatly fall into one of these like categories that often exist, or especially like within the Asian American community, a lot of the stereotypes that are pretty pervasive. And I think a lot of it is also like a historical or like cultural pieces of it are important. So like my parents are Chinese, and I think when they were growing up, it was just very much so ingrained in their educational upbringing that to be able to have a stable job and to be able to provide for your family, you needed to do like in Chinese the phrase is like shulihua. So like you needed to be good at science, you need to be good at like chemistry and like physics, right? And so these are the things that would provide you with like that stability and that those kinds of things that like no one would be able to take from you, like those kinds of like hard skills. And so given my own personal upbringing and like having parents who were very much in that environment, it's harder, I think, to sort of like shake this idea of like that's what it means to be successful, or those are the good or like acceptable career choices.
Yeah, you touched on a lot of like good points there. Yeah, like the cultural, like I think there's a lot of like Asian Americans talk about like how, there's just like beliefs from back in like Asia that, it should be like done a certain way. And I feel like a lot of like that's why like I kind of created the podcast, because like a lot of people are trying to like break out of this like very small like mold of like what Asian Americans can be, because like we can be so many things. So, well, it was so great hearing your story, Miss Lou. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great to be on the podcast. I'm curious to kind of hear who else you interview and see where this goes. It's awesome to hear.
This has been the Not the Model Minority Podcast. Be sure to stay tuned in for the next one. Brian Yang, signing off. Be sure to hit the follow button to never miss another episode of Not the Model Minority Podcast. See you next time.